Blog Talk Radio.
Show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our heart apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad you're able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart, as well as any other podcast outlets. Just type in Reconnect My Heart and you will see us. Also, hear us. Also, for those who may want to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart, you can go to reconnectmyheartpodcast.com. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in, and thank you all so much. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your continued prayers, support, and love. I do have to acknowledge there's a lot of y'all I may see on social media or even in the streets. Y'all give me so much love. I'm very, very honored. I just love getting a chance to meet people, speak to you all. So I really appreciate it. You know, that's all I can say. I thank you so much. But on today, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about having patience, trusting in God, and so much more in an episode called Trying to Stop Stressing While Waiting on My Blessing. Look here. that hit me today. That resonated with me. And a lot of times people just think, well, think about blessing pertaining to financial or materialistic. But sometimes the blessing is being able to have peace. The blessing is being able to have joy even in the midst of conflict. The blessing is being able to just have peace and quiet. Let's be realistic. And I was thinking about it today. I was like, wow. Because I know some multimillionaires. I know some entertainers. The money. They got the fame. But they will pay $1,000 just for one good night rest. There are some people that will pay $10,000 for people not to call them with their problems. Hello. And so when I think about how sometimes we allow ourselves to be stressed in the midst of certain situations, you know, I'm like, man, we got to have this conversation. I mean, what we always have to think about is situation that occurs in life, and I'm talking to the believers. I'm talking to the Christians. Yes. A lot of times people think because you are saved, you are exempt from problems. Just because you are saved, oh, everything is going to be like magic. Pam. But also I found that there are some people, they have been told that once you get saved, all your problems are over with. Sometimes, because you save, some people will cause problems for you, or on you, or to you. See, matter of fact, those that know me, I don't mind being transparent. Matter of fact, I was at work, and those that know I work in the county jail, and I've heard many times where there's been people that try to take advantage of us, and when we have to become stern and administer the law or stand up for our rights, oh, well, you know, you're supposed to be saved, but, you know, the Bible says turn the other cheek. Oh, really? Well, you need to get the proper revelation of that scripture. And I ain't just talking about the inmates causing problems either. I'm talking about the coworkers or any other staff member. See, a lot of times people try to take your kindness for weakness. People think because you're not going to say anything that they can walk over you. But the devil is a lie. I tell people, look here, whatever you try to do towards me, imagine if it happens to you. Well, you and I always say this. We got to stop saying the excuse of, well, you know, they're just that person. That's how that person is. That does not give them permission nor the license to disrespect other people. I heard this saying. It was so beautiful by Leonard Washington. He said, your rights, because everybody talk about, oh, I got rights. Yes. Your rights end where mine begins. In other words, there are boundaries set in place, and your rights should not overstep my boundaries. See, when you do things against my will, actually, that's pretty much against my right. I have civil rights. I have biblical rights, but I also have civil rights, and they will stand up in the court of law. But unfortunately, what happened, because we don't know our standard operating procedure at work and also even in life, sometimes we allow people to overstep the boundaries because of our ignorance. So I just have to throw this out there. And so while we're waiting on, Sam can't hear me. Okay, let me try something. That dirty devil. Okay. My battery. Let me try something right quick. Matter of fact, let me go ahead. I'm going to do this right quick. I'm going to set this in place. Audio. Let me try this. Let me try this. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now? Okay. Like you can hear me now. All right. Number one, I apologize. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make sure that I have this recorded. I want to make sure y'all get the audio version. But hey, this will happen on live television. But one of the things I found out, because we're waiting, because we're asking God to help us, and we're trying not to stress, we're trying to wait patiently. And like I said, sometimes try not to stress it while you're waiting on your blessing. Your blessing may not be financial. It may not be, materialistic. It could be anything pertaining to your joy, your peace, your sanity. And what I found out, how sometimes some people, especially when we have to put our trust or give our rights over, I don't want to say rights, but let's just say when we have to depend upon, that's what I'm trying to say, when we have to depend upon other people, oh my goodness, that could become very aggravating. And so what we have to do, we have to ask God to help us in that waiting period. See, as long as there is some type of evidence that things are moving forward, that's good. You can kind of, let's just say that it's good and it's even possible for us to wait when we see some evidence of, hey, things will work out. But what happened when you don't see any evidence of things, but God's still telling you, hey, wait? Or you're being told, hey, just hold on? Because it's one thing to hear yes. It's another thing to hear no. You may not like to know, but at least you got a definite answer so you can move on to that potential yes. But when people say, hold on a minute, you're like, no, wait a minute. I ain't got time to be waiting. I don't have time. So I want people to understand that when it comes down to us having to wait for our blessing, having to wait for change, having to wait for our breakthrough, sometimes there could be a little anxiety. Sometimes there could be a little stress because we're like, wow, I don't have time. So I'm glad for us to be able to really just come to the realization of being real, being transparent. And like I always say, this is not you doubting your salvation in Jesus Christ. No. Think about this. You can have all the love and all the confidence in your parent. But when your parent tells you to wait, you become impatient or maybe even question their ability in that situation, but you don't question their ability in every situation. Like I said, we're not talking about their quote-unquote nature. We're talking about pertaining to a particular skill in a particular area. Yes, I love my father. My father is a great mechanic. My father is not a jack of all trades, but a master of all trades. But there may be a particular skill that he may not be very knowledgeable about or may not be very confident in. So I know in that particular area, I know, well, I may not depend upon him in this area, but I can depend upon him in every other area. For example, yes, he might be weak in this area, but if I need somebody to, you know, pick up something for me, oh, he was very strong. But like I said, that does not cancel all his other attributes that he's able to do versus the area that I may not be able to depend upon him in that particular area. Now, when it comes down to God, sometimes the reason why we may question his ability is not because we see him as weak, but sometimes we allow the situation to overwhelm us and get into our emotions, to get into our psyche, for us to see the perspective being bigger than our bigger God. And so what we have to do when God tells us to wait, we have to learn, number one, how to wait, what does waiting look like, but also what to do in a process of waiting. See, waiting means just do nothing at all. Huh. Okay, I'm sorry. I hope y'all can hear me now. If y'all can hear me, say I can hear you. Okay. And I'm going to make sure, like I said, I'm going to make sure that I try to re-edit this video so that way y'all can hear the other part. But a lot of times what happens, matter of fact, let me see if I can do it myself. Okay, good. I can hear myself. Okay. But a lot of times what happens when we have this anxiety, we have these, like I said, these panic attacks, when we see things, when we see the storms of life raging. Matter of fact, I'm seeing right now how when Jesus was on the boat and the boat had Jesus with the disciples, but the wind and the waves begin to be troubling towards not just the disciples, but the ship while Jesus was in it. And so understanding, they woke up Jesus. Yes. And what did Jesus do? Jesus spoke to the wind and the wave. He spoke to the wind, the wave. He spoke to the sea. He said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Understand that he spoke to a spiritual matter that was resulting in a physical nature. And so sometimes when we have our situation, we see the physical component, but in actuality, it is a spiritual component. We always hear, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spirits, principalities, and wickedness in high places. And so for us to understand that there's a puppet master behind the puppet, but sometimes what we do, we deal with the puppet, and we wonder why there's another problem, because we are not addressing the puppet master. If you can get rid of the puppet master, you get rid of the puppet, or you can control the puppet. But as long as you're dealing with the puppet, you will always have puppets because of the puppet master. And so when we deal with situations, sometimes in that waiting period, God is trying to help us to be patient with him while he addressed the puppet master in the midst of the puppets. We see the puppets, but God is trying to help us to keep our nerves, keep our temper under control. And I'm telling you, I'm learning. Do I know everything? No, I don't. And I found out even myself, because, yeah, regardless of my age and all that stuff, but I'm learning more about life and I'm learning more about myself every day, especially now, you know, being 5 years removed from losing my sister, my counterpart. So I'm learning about me. I'm learning who I am independent from her, because we depend upon each other for so much. And so, yeah. And to some people, I'm going to say it like this, because some people, they may, well, you know, some people get upset and go, you always talk about your sister. Yeah, that's my sister. And if you don't like it, big deal. That's your problem, not mine. I have to say that because some people, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. But what I found out is in my situation, I found out that I had to learn. And in this life, I know, especially now, God is helping me to become more dependent upon Him and less independent upon myself. But yes, we all need each other. I don't care how long you've been living. I don't care how saved you are. You cannot live this life alone. Yes, that song, I Got Jesus and That's Enough, well, that ain't enough. Because I guarantee you, if you have a wife, hey, your wife expects you to take your husband's duties. Or if you have a husband, your husband expects you to take care of wife duties. You know, whatever. And it's not just pertaining to chores. We're talking about communication. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about dating. We're talking about doing things with your family. Yes. God's not going to have you to have a family and for you to just put aside your family. No. Because you think about it. Your first ministry is where? Your family. Yeah. So I have to put that disclaimer because some people ideology is like, well, you know, I don't need them. I just tell my wife to just trust the Lord. Okay, you know what? You're failing your responsibility as a husband. Biblically, you know, so, and also with your children, you know, I mean, I have to say these things because it's so obvious and it's so, I would say obvious, but to some people, their understanding is, I just say it's an error. I just have to say it's an error. And so with that being said, for us to be able to not stress, the first thing we have to do is find out why we're stressing. Why are we having anxiety about a particular thing? If we really be transparent with ourselves, why are we stressing? Let's look at some of the reasons why some people may stress in the midst of the waiting period. Some people may stress because they feel like that their voice or their prayers not being heard. Some people may feel that their voice or their feelings are being ignored, deliberately ignored. Some people may feel like their thoughts, their ideas are not being respected. But then also what happened is when a person has been used to being ignored, being used to being rejected, being used to having all these things, being ignored, all these things, then what happens, it becomes a pattern where you expect that just because others have ignored you, others have pushed you to a side, others have rejected you, now your outlook is that everybody is going to treat you like other people did. And so now what you have to do, you feel like you have to yell out a little louder to be heard. You have to be a little bit more vocal to be accepted. Why? Because history has shown that you have been ignored, been disrespected, been ignored. Your feelings, your thoughts, even you as an individual. Even within the family, sometimes people can feel like, well, you know, nobody cares about me. So I may have to, you know, express myself. And especially when you're so used to it, yeah, there may be a little extra attitude trying to be nice. I'm being ignored, but now I'm tired of being nice. Have you ever felt that way? You know what? You don't even have to answer. Do you know somebody have felt that way? And so what happened in that stress, sometimes in that waiting period, sometimes it began to aggravate us. Why? Because the routine of well, you know, just hold on. And I found out, have you ever been to a fast food restaurant and you make an order, and then the people behind you make an order, and they get their order, and you waiting. Now, first, you were waiting patiently. You waiting, and then the person behind you get their food, and then the person behind them get their food, and you up here waiting, and you're like, well, I'm going to give them a few more minutes before I say anything. But then there are other people that are like, hey, wait a minute. Where my food at? Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Somebody took your order. I'm going to have to make another one. We're going to give you a fresh batch. Well, I hope so. You know, or this what happened to me one time. I went to Whataburger. I wanted to treat myself to a breakfast. So I waited. I ordered. I saw somebody I knew, spoke to them, hey, how you doing, blah, 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 blah. And I waited. Then I went on, I started going up there. I said, excuse me, I was waiting on my food. Oh, I'm so sorry. They didn't make it. Wait a minute now. Come on now. You know, and so, you know, they accommodated me. But what happened is sometimes when we're silent about something, sometimes we get overlooked or ignored. And so sometimes, yeah, in that waiting period, it may cause you to get a little stressed. You may have to be a little bit more vocal. Some people, they may have their attitude with the next day. Let me tell you, wait a minute, I don't understand. Where is the manager? You know, you have to understand how to deal with those situations so that way nobody be spitting on your food, you know. But also, what I found out in those stressful moments, it reveals our character and the opportunity to reveal the character of God. In other words, how we wait will determine what type of outcome that we have. Yeah, we can get exactly what is required of us or what we're supposed to be getting. Yes, we can easily get that. But what happens oftentimes because you knowing how to wait, a lot of times we get extra. A lot of times because of the inconvenience, and we handle that inconvenience in a healthy way, what happened? Or even showing grace. When we show grace, even in the midst of, you know, just that kind of discomfort, sometimes we get a little bit more extra. There have been many times, either myself or other people, you know, they want to make sure that they treat the customer right. So what they do, well, you know, we are so sorry. We give you this, and also we're going to give you some gift certificates, you know, breakfast or lunch on us. Why? Because we knew how to wait. Also, we gave them grace. And so for us to be able to not stress, not get into our emotions where we end up messing up our reputation, discarding our character, but most importantly, messing up our witness as believers. Because a lot of times, matter of fact, this happened a couple of years ago. I was at work, and this was during visitation time, and one of my coworkers was trying to help this young man. And this young man, he was a senior person. I knew who that person was from the outside. I knew who that visitor was. But all of a sudden, that visitor ended up being very disrespectful to my coworker. And was just, really downgrading him. And I'm not going to say anything that's wrong, but I don't remember if he used any profanity or he made him feel like he had some profanity thrown at him. But when he got done, that visitor, he didn't, I don't know if he realized, but he was in the wrong. The visitor was in the wrong. And at the end, he wanted to invite that young man and myself to his church. He was the pastor. Not just the preacher, he was the pastor. So I'm like, well, you kind of messed that one up there, sir. You messed that one up. You know, so you have to be very careful in what you do and how you say it, because understanding you are always on a microscope. There are spiritual TMZs that's watching you all the time. And also there's the opportunity when there's some little impatience, when there's some aggravation or agitation. What I find out, those are distractions that the devil try to use to throw us off, because there is a message as well as there is an opportunity that God is using for something to happen. It may be a blessing to them, it may be a blessing to you, or it may be a blessing to the both of you all. And so we have to be very mindful of those opportunities. And so in asking God to help us not to stress, asking God to help us not to stress. One more time, ask God to help us not to stress. Some of the things that we have to do for us to be able to not stress in that waiting period. Some of the things we got to do, get the scriptures right here. We always tell people, trust God. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. And I always tell people, yes, saying those scriptures, oh, that's great. But we need to tell people, what does trusting God look like? I can even say, oh, just pray. You just got to pray about it. Okay, tell me how to pray. We so easy to tell people what to do. It's almost like having a brand new baby, throwing it to somebody and hurry up and leave it without giving them the specific instructions, diapers, or even milk or formula. We give people mandates without instructions. Also, think about this. When you first started your job, what did they do? They partnered you up with someone. Like myself, they gave someone a training officer. Why? That training officer was going to help instruct you on what to do. That way, number one, they're going to talk to you, tell you policy, but also you're going to be able to see it demonstrated in action. We see that at work, but now it's time for us to see it within the church or within our lives. And so when you witness to someone, when you tell somebody what to do, how about instead of telling them what to do, how about you partner up with them and show them what to do? That goes for you. That goes for me. That goes for all of us. We as believers, we have to start doing that because it helps build relationships with one another. Also, that is one of the mandates that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help disciple others. We're supposed to disciple others, not discipline others. And so what's going to help us is for us to be able to help draw people. And look here, be that brother's keeper or be that sister's keeper. See, as long as the problem is yours, I can tell you some advice. And it don't even have to be a heartfelt, it don't have to be a well thought of advice. Why? Because it ain't my problem, that's your problem. But as soon as that problem becomes my problem, oh my gosh, what to do? How do I handle it? Have you noticed? Easy to give somebody else advice, but when it comes down to your situation, you don't adhere to that same advice. But if you think about it, that advice that you gave them, are you 100% sure that it'll work? So if you're confident that it'll work, that means that the same answer or solution that you gave them will work for you. And so that's why it's so important for us to even put ourselves in other people's shoes. When we begin to be more, I guess the word, empathetic, then we can be able to really just start praying for people and be patient with them and partner up with them, because right now it's them. Today is them, but tomorrow it might be you or it might be me. You know, I have to say this. When I was, I did the Sunday school lesson this morning, and I talked about when I lost my sister. That night I was talking to God, and God told me all throughout my life, I told people what God can do. I told them about the power of God. But now I'm in a situation, I'm not going to tell them what God can do. I have to show them what God can do. So in other words, all those words and advice and the scriptures I've gave them throughout the years, now they have to see it demonstrated in my life like never before. The situation of me losing my sister was actually a spotlight that came on for myself, my ministry, and my family. And so now that's the reason why, yes, when situations occur, I'll tell you the for real. I'm going to break it down to you and tell you, hey, yeah, I was upset pertaining to certain situations. Yes, you know, I have to really pray. Yes, I have to pray for myself. Yes, I have to lay hands upon myself and say, God, help me. God, deliver me from this. God, help my emotions. Because right now, I'm thinking about checking my bank account to see how much bail money I got. Yes, I said that. If you've never felt that way, then praise the Lord. I hope you never feel that way. But on the other hand, if you be real with yourself, be real with that person that's in your mirror, remember this. You may not have done anything, but even the thought of doing something, you're just as guilty as doing it. So that's why it's so important for us to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves, because God is requiring us to look through his lens, not our lens pertaining to ourselves, not other people, ourselves. We have to closely examine the word of God for ourselves and apply it to ourselves. So many people, they get the Bible, and they're so easy to point the finger at somebody else, but you're not realizing while you're pointing the finger at somebody else, person that you end up pointing the finger to, you're actually worse than them. Why? Because so many people, they're so easy to put down others to make themselves look good or put down others to exalt themselves. Isn't that witchcraft? And so the thing is, that's why it's so important for us to pray for one another. It's so important for us to love one another. And I ain't talking about, well, yeah, I love them. No. No lip service. We're talking about actions. Actions. Love is an action word more than just words. Love is action. In other words, matter of fact, I know some people, yeah, I love you, and they'll be the main ones to kill somebody, main ones put their hands on somebody, but they say they love them. That ain't love. And so with that being said, being able to ask God to help us not to stress, being able to trust him even when it seems like there's no evidence of things moving on our behalf. Romans 12:12 tell us, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Being patient. Also, Psalms 34:7-8, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prosper in his ways. Matter of fact, even David said his foot almost slipped when he saw the wicked prosper. In other words, isn't it bad when you've been doing everything, been doing the right thing, and it seems like the wicked one, the wicked people are getting blessed before you. It's like you doing all the right thing. You doing this, you doing that, but that slew-footed rascal, the one that's always conniving, the one that's always, you know, cheating, they're the ones that getting things done, you know. You doing the right thing, but you being ignored. But that shyster one is always being the one that, hey, get the pat on the back or get the acknowledgement. You're like, wait a minute. You the hardest worker at work, but you always the one that's called on. By the one that ain't doing nothing, the one that's always calling slick. No, that I didn't say calling sick. Calling slick. They'd be the main ones like, they could just take it easy. They could just take a chill pill. But you the one that work hard, show up every day, and you still look like you're getting overlooked. How do you handle that situation? God is saying to reason. There is something that you may not see that's behind the scenes. But I'm working everything out. I'm working everything out. Understand that we have a God has an all-seeing eye, and not just seeing with the physical, but seeing within the spirit. Also, Proverbs, Proverbs 15-18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a squadron. Understanding that sometimes our temper can get us in trouble. One thing I always tell people is not being led by your emotions, but being led by God's spirit. And sometimes what I found out, sometimes those are opportunities when we have the opportunity to get stressed. Those are opportunities that the devil trying to throw at us for us to submit to this stress, for us to be able to miss what God has for us. What I found out, nobody can make us miss our blessing but us. We can miss our own blessing. And so if the devil sees that he can't get to you through this person or through that person, he'll make you sabotage your own blessing. And we shouldn't do that. Also, Ecclesiastes 7-8, patience is better than pride. 1 Corinthians 13-4, love is patient. Oh, love is patient and kind. Also, I want to read James 5-8, you also must be patient. Keep your hope high, for the day of the Lord coming is near. And we're not just talking about physical appearance, but also even him arriving in the situations in our lives. You know, God can come in and move, and it doesn't take God long to move. But what happened when we can stay out of the way, it gives God access to come into the way to make a way. But as long as we keep our hand on the fire, it prevents God from moving in our lives. Sometimes we're the ones, like I said, that's hindering our blessing or that's hindering the flow of God moving in our life. And God is saying, hey, I got this. I don't need your help. I need your cooperation, not your participation. Your cooperation is for you to just sit there and be occupied with doing what I told you to do instead of doing what you want to do, because I don't need no help in this situation. My. And so with that being said, this right here, Luke 21-19. Let your patience possess ye your soul. Being patient. One of the things I always say, learn to be patient so you won't become a patient. Ask God to help us. Because, to be honest with you, what I found out, when you ask God to help you in a situation, what's going to happen, the scene is going to be set for another opportunity. But what God will do, God will slow the scene down so slow where you have the opportunity to go ahead and do it his way or do it in your own way. But one of the things I always find out, if you don't pass a test, take it over again. And the retakes are much harder and more inconvenient than the original test. I always think about the analogy of summer school. Summer school comes in the most inconvenient time, and that's the time where you're supposed to be having vacation, family time. But because of, I'm not talking about for those who want to just take extra credit. Yeah, they're doing it on their own will. But if you have to, if you failed a test, if you failed a class, and you have to take summer school, wow. It's like, while everybody outside playing, you going to school, or while everybody outside playing, you got to do your homework. So that's why it's so important for you to ask God to help you to pass this test so you won't have to take it over again. And understand that God is willing to help you in whatever situation that you're in. He want to help you. Let him help you. Know that when you give God access, you give him the responsibility to fix it. But in the midst of you waiting, what can you do in that waiting period? You think about going to the doctor's office and you're in the waiting room. There are many things in that waiting room that you can take advantage of. Oftentimes there are magazines. Oftentimes there are coloring books on material for the kids. But also there's the television. And so in other words, you can allow what God has provided in the waiting room of life to distract you from doing anything or even realizing that you're waiting. Take advantage of the waiting room of life so that way you can be ready for that door to open up and your name be called. You can run on in. Take advantage of it. And so with that being said, ask God to help you and know that he wants to help you. But also for us to understand, aren't you ready? Aren't you tired of not hearing your name being called or them not calling your name because you're being disruptive? And every time you're being disruptive, they put your name back on the back of the list, putting you on the back of the list because you don't know how to wait. And have you noticed when you ask God for patience, what's going to happen? There's going to be an opportunity for you to exercise patience. So instead of us always having to exercise patience, how about we start mastering patience? Not for us to be a patient of patience, to become impatient as a patient, but us be able to understand how to be the cooperative patient. So that way we no longer have to be impatient and we can be called by God to receive what we're waiting on. That was a tongue twister. And so with that being said, God is here to help us in this situation. He's able to help us in our time of need and in our time of want. He's able to help us. Understand, it is possible. All things are possible to him that believe. And so with that being said, I want each and every one of us to look at all these things that's end up just making us impatient. Matter of fact, I'm going to read one more. Proverbs 19:11, a wise wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Now understand that some people, they think, oh, well, you know, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm telling you. You have rights. You have to know your rights and exercise your rights. But also one of the things where I would say, not everything requires a response. Learning to pick and choose your battles or your fights. When you know you're dealing with somebody, you know, You did what they would call it. But when they become a disruptive, when they become a hindrance, hey, you got to call them out. Sometimes you got to go up the chain of command. But that doesn't mean, like I always say, that doesn't mean, well, we're just not going to say anything. And that's why we have problems where we have now. Because a lot of things we don't address, we just sweep it under the rug, and we wonder why we got a lump under the rug. There are some things that have to be addressed. So with that being said, I want either one of us to go to God and talk to him about whatever situation that you're dealing with and know that he's able to help us in every area of our lives. Also, just in case someone who may not be saved, Romans 10:9 tells us, thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Savior, and believe in the heart God will raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Know that there is nothing too hard for God. Know that he can do any and everything, and he's concerned about every aspect of your life. And so just in case you're not saved, I'm telling you, yes, when you get saved, there may still be situations to occur, but you're not without hope and you're not without help. Jesus can help you in your time of need. Jesus can help you in your situation. And also, he can give you a different perspective and be able to give you joy and peace in the midst of the conflict or problem. I'm telling you, you can be able to have peace in the midst of your storm. And know that you were equipped not just to get it, but to overcome it. In Jesus' name. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We're coming to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. So, God, we're coming to you right now, God. First of all, God, ask God to help us right now, God. Help us in every area of our lives right now. In the name of Jesus, help us to be the men and ladies that you call for us to be, God. Help us right now, God, to be that witness, God, that's going to draw people to you. So, God, we speak right now, God, for those who may be dealing with impatience right now, God, those who may be stressing in the waiting room, God, help them right now, God, to pass the test, God. Help them right now, God, to help them to understand, God, that they're not being ignored. They're not being unacknowledged, God. But, God, there are some things you're working behind the scenes that they may not know of, God. So ask God to help them, God, to trust you right now, even in the waiting period right now. In the name of Jesus, help us right now, God, to not get offended, not taking personal pertaining to things not being change and things not moving or progressing as we desire right now. But help us, God, to trust you like never before, God. Help us, God, to trust your plans and not our own right now. In the name of Jesus, and set upon everything you stand for, we counsel you every assignment that you have right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know, God, that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to their purpose right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now, God, for what you've done, but most importantly, for who you are right now. And we ask, God, to help those, God, who are grieving, God. Comfort them. Be with them right now. In the name of Jesus, hold them up right now, God, close to your bosom right now, God. God, we speak right now, God, that you hold each and every person right now, God. You know them by name. You know them by character right now, God. Hold up the families of the grievers right now, God. Be with them right now, God. In the name of Jesus, someone who may be dealing with conflict or situation on the job right now, God. God, we speak, God, that you intervene, God. Give them the plan of action right now, God. In the name of Jesus, give them the instructions right now, God. And help God to execute it in obedience to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, help us right now, God, even to forgive those who've done us wrong. Forgive those who have scandalized our name or done anything that's unlike you, God. And God, we speak right now, God, even for them right now, God. Minister to them. Reach them right now, God. Touch their hearts and mind, God, to change. But even if they choose not to change, help us, God, to not change, but be consistent with you and to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, help us, God, to not step outside of our character right now. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now, God, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank each and every one of y'all who are tuning in. If you have any questions, want to reach out to me, you can catch me on social media, on Facebook, my name is Brother Prater. Yes, that's my actual name, Brother Prater. On Facebook, I have my daily devotions and my videos. Also, you can go to my website as well as my app. Yes, I have a mobile app. It's Brother Prater, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P as in Paul, R-A, T as in Tom, E-R. You type in that and you can see my daily devotions, my videos. Also, on what's called Daily Word, I have a scripture every day where you can be able to learn more about. So there's a verse every day that's posted on my app and website. Also, you can go to the store section of my website or app, and you can go to the store section where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to God of Fatherhood. And I always forget about getting my book. But A Few Good Men was written to inform men their needs and their responsibilities towards their family, their children, or their children's mother, regardless if they're with them or not. But also, even it talks to the women. You know, we're not just trying to get the men help. We want to get the families help. So I speak to the men as well as the women and the children. But also the other book, The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life. You can read that. That's a book that's dedicated to my sister, Sheila Prater. She was killed by domestic violence relationship. But also in that book, I talk about something that we very seldom talk about. We often talk about pertaining to relationships. We talk about relationship between husband and wife. We talk about relationship with courting, but we very seldom talk about relationship or building relationship within siblings. So I want to use that book to talk about the relationship, or if you want to call it, siblingships. So I thank y'all for tuning in, and also we're going to be praying for the Robinson family. We lost a good friend of mine, Miss Patricia Hines. She was my coworker many, many years ago. Beautiful, sweet young lady. I actually saw her last month for Father's Day. And sweet young lady, and also my son's mother lost her grandmother. We're going to be praying for the Ford family. So I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for y'all love, support, and just everything. Y'all are awesome. I really appreciate y'all. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. And thank you for listening to Reconnect My Heart podcast. God bless you, and good night.